Wow, getting a clap for the announcements, Lauren. That's pretty good. Good morning, Calus family. Glad you're here. Today I have the privilege of introducing our guest speakers. It's Sebastian and Sarah. You know, it's interesting because I was thinking I have to introduce them, and I actually met them just a year ago. Through just the Lord opening a door and connection, we were able to host Sebastian and Sarah as they accompanied a YWAM team from Colombia, South America, and we just had a great heart connection with them. You know, I really love the zeal of YWAM, right? Those that I have met associated with YWAM, they just are all in. They just have so much zeal, and found the same with Sebastian and Sarah, and just their story, their testimony, their teaching, their heart. You can really sense that they are just fully devoted to the Lord. So I think it's going to be a blessing to you. But as I was thinking about introducing Sebastian and Sarah, I go, I don't even know their last name, right? I just go, Sebastian. So I looked up, and then on their passport, we had to send, we sent an invitation letter, just anyway. And then I noticed that, I guess is it cultural in Colombia where the husband and the wife, it seems like you don't have the same last name. So I was like, oh my gosh, I don't. But it's Sebastian Aristizabal. Is that right? Okay. But he's going to come and share. And then I think Sarah, his wife's going to come and share. When they were here last summer, his wife was accompanied, and they were going all over the West Coast with the team. She was 30 weeks pregnant at the time, and she was traveling and accompanied. And now they have their daughter, Mia, who was born last August or July. Yeah, so she's here too. She's accompanying him, and there's one particular story that I wanted him to share that I'm sure will be a mind shifting paradigm change or confronting our mindset, that I think they're going to incorporate that story. But we're just blessed, and it's just a reminder that our family, the family of God, is global. We have brothers and sisters all over the world, and we're blessed to have Sebastian and Sarah from and Mia from Colombia. So Sebastian's going to come up, and he's going to share the word today. So Sarah's going to come up.
Good morning, family. How are you? So I asked my wife if she could pray for me and for us before we start, and she'll be sharing in the middle of the message some stories as well, and then we'll start.
Yeah. Thank you so much for receiving us. We are so excited to be here. We really enjoy these days with you. You are an amazing church, and I know that God feels so proud of you for all the work that you are doing here, also in Japan and in Africa. Is a big encouragement for us to see you doing the mission. So pray, we will pray for this day, for my husband, and that he can share. English is not our first language, so sorry if something missing the message, but we are trying to do the best. Okay? Thank you, God, for my husband. Thank you for this church, for the blessing that is be here, and have the honor to share your word with them. Please, Holy Spirit, come and open the windows of our hearts to receive the things that you have for us today. I bless my husband with your Holy Spirit, with the that you can use them as a vessel to give us water that comes from you, from the heaven. Please open our spiritual eyes this morning to see the things that you want to show us. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Thank you, baby. Okay, so as Pastor Barry mentioned, we are Colombians, and we are serving as missionaries as well with Youth with a Mission in Colombia. Our mother tongue is Spanish. So if I mix some things, have mercy on me, and may the Holy Spirit reveal to you what I really mean to say. But this morning, we're going to be sharing a little bit from the Word of God, and hopefully also from our testimony and what God has been doing in our lives. And we hope it'll be of encouragement, but also a challenge for you as well. We really look up to you. We admire so much what you're doing. And this is the second time we're here. Last time was just for a couple days. But in the different activities and spaces we've been able to share with some of you, for us has been very refreshing. And we see how you are a Spirit-filled church led by the Holy Spirit of God, and you're passionate for what God is saying and doing here, but also in the nations. So I hope I can challenge you as I have been challenged as I was preparing this to share, and the Holy Spirit will speak to us. So we'll have some presentation going on there. It's very simple because my wife was sleeping our baby, so I had to do it. And I'm not so good with this presentations, but I hope the message will be there. I wanted to start just as we were worshiping together. God was sharing something additional, just to mention it at the beginning. And it's in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. And it's a reminder of where we are standing today. And it's a reminder of our identity as Christians, as followers of Jesus, children of God. And then Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19 to 23, it's describing the power of God revealed through Jesus. And it says, I want you to know about the great and mighty power that God has for us, his followers. It is the same wonderful power he used when he raised Christ from the dead and let him sit at his right side in the heavenly places. This is a key word, the heavenly places. There, Christ rules over all forces, authorities, thrones, powers, rulers. He rules over all beings in this world and will rule in the future world as well. And God has put everything, all things under the power of Christ. And for the good of the church, you and me, he has made him the head of everything. The church is the body of Christ and is filled with Christ, who completely fills everything. So God is saying, this is your new identity. When you come into God's kingdom by God's grace, this is our new identity. We are now the body, and our head is Jesus Christ. And he's saying Jesus is seated on the right hand of the Father above everything, thrones, powers, authorities, rulers, everything you see, human and spiritual, what we can see, what we cannot see, everything is below his feet. And then chapter 2 of Ephesians, it's reminding who we were, reminding us who we were. And it's saying, we were dead. We were the enemies of God. We were children of wrath or disobedience. Because we used to live according to what our selfish desires led us to do. But God, in his mercy, has given us Christ. And then verse 5 and 6, even when we were dead through our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us up with him. And listen, this is my favorite part. And made us to sit with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So I just felt to share this little piece of truth for us before we go into the message. The situations that you're facing in your family, health, anything in your job, in the area where you live, I believe God wants to remind us where we're sitting today. So we're sitting here, physically, yes, in this precious facility, but we're sitting on the heavenly places. And it's not because we're handsome, beautiful, gifted, but it's because God's grace. And God wants you to remember this. We are seated on the heavenly places beside Jesus. So he has all the authority, and he's invited us into that place. So I'd like us just to take 1 minute to pray over this. And you know what you're facing. It may be a difficulty, a challenge, some issue, something you don't know how to solve. Or maybe you're facing that you're battling for someone's soul and salvation of a relative, of a friend, and you've been praying and interceding, or you know what it is. And let's take just 1 minute, being aware, conscious of that position Jesus has given us. We're seated on the heavenly places with him, not because of us and being so good, but because of him. And let's take just 1 minute to pray this over the challenge you have. Is that okay for you? Yes? So you have to do it. I cannot pray for you. I can pray for you, but you have to pray for your own thing as well. But let's pray together, okay? Just for 1 minute. So, Father, we thank you. Thank you for the authority you have entrusted us, Lord. And we present the challenge that we are facing in this moment, the health issues, financial issues, relational issues, anything that it's being a struggle and an obstacle in our lives, and we want to submit this to you, Jesus. And we pray that from these heavenly places, you give us the wisdom and the grace that we can have you speak into our ear and show us the way, the things that we are not seeing. So I pray in Jesus' name that you will bring revelation, that you will bring peace, but also that you will bring a way through, maybe not a way out of it, but a way through it, so that you get the glory in the different situations that we're facing. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So if we get the slides on the video beam, what does it mean to be a Christian? Thank you. What does it mean to be a Christian? What do you think? Where I come from, the people can speak, so feel free to speak. Not just listening, but you can participate. Yes? So what does it mean to be a Christian? What is this? What do you think? Just one at a time. Follower of Christ. Great. Anybody else? What is it to be a Christian? Oh, wow. Jesus is Lord. I think I can go back to my seat. You have said it everything, sister. Yes? That's it. What does it mean to be a Christian? How do you identify a Christian? How do they look? Or how do you know someone is a Christian? How do you know you're a Christian? Your testimony, the way you live. Ah, wow. Your obedience to God. Yes. Anybody else? How do you know you're a Christian or someone else is a Christian person? Say again? The way they love other people. Oh my goodness, you guys are... You've done a great job here. Yes, it's amazing. So, some people think Christian, you identify them by the way they speak, or the way they dress, or the way they drive, yeah, or the way they treat others. And these all can be signs, yeah? But there's people who are not Christian, who are not followers of Jesus, who Jesus is not their Lord, and they treat other people well. Yes, and they are good drivers, very patient, and they dress nicely, like, yes, in a good way, and they speak not with, how you say, cursing or these kind of words. But those things alone don't mean you're a Christian. They can be part of it. But obedience, it's a fruit. Who is leading your decisions in life? Who is leading your decisions in life? So this word Christian was first used, and it's in the book of Acts 11:26, in a region called Antioch. And it says that Paul and Barnabas were there for a year teaching. They were planting a church, making disciples. And people around started calling them Christians, which was like little Christs, followers of Jesus Christ, or the people from Christ's group. So it was a nickname others put on them. And it showed the way they were serious about their faith. That the way to describe them was Christ. Oh, they are little Christ. They look like Christ. Yeah, they speak like Christ. All they do all the time is about Christ, Christ, Christ. You know, you have the political parties. So it was kind of not a political party, but a party, a group. Yeah? All they know about is Christ. So that's the definition of the word Christian. But then who is leading your decisions? What is your base, your foundation to make decisions every day? How you use your time, how you treat your wife, your children, how you raise your children. For those who are single, is there any single people here still? Yeah? Okay, maybe you don't want to raise your hand. That's okay. Yes? The way you choose who you're going to marry with. Yeah? Who you're going to date. The way you use your money. The way you use your power. All of you have power in the spirit, but also in human terms, you have power. In your job, in your studies, you have an influence over others. And then who is leading the decisions you make with all that? Or what is leading it? What is the motivation behind your decisions, my decisions? Why did we come here to LA? Is this LA? Yeah, to this area. Why are we here? Why are you going through that career path? Why are you accepting that job or marrying that person? Yes? Why are you having children or not having children? All of these decisions are a sign of who is your Lord. So my sister said it well. Jesus is Lord. Who is really Lord of your life? We can sing it in the worship times. And we can pray it in the secret place and in the public place. But what really speaks about who's the Lord of our lives, it's our decisions. Every decision. The little decisions, like what I'm going to have for breakfast. And the big decisions, like others. You imagine your big decisions of life. Yes? So who is leading your decisions? The book of John, chapter 14, verse 15. Jesus is speaking to the disciples, and he says, if you love me, obey my commandments. If you love me, obey my commandments. Same chapter, verse 21. He who has my commandments and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. And then one of the disciples say, Jesus, how is it you're going to manifest to us and not to the world? And Jesus once again says, we will manifest to those who obey me. So love and obedience are the same thing before God's eyes. Are you obeying God with all your heart? Are we being obedient to what He's asking from us? This is the fruit of the Christian, obedience. So there's one of the slides, might be the next one, or before that one, yeah. Spiritual authority comes from obedience to Jesus. In Latin America, where I live, titles are very important. I don't know if it's the same way here. But if you have a title, you're the manager, or you're the pastor, or you're, yeah, all these different titles are very important. And in our culture, the person who has a title is very revered and respected. And within the church, in our case, the people with a title, whether they're an usher or small group leader or any title, so, oh, that person has authority. And to some point, it's truth. But there's another kind of authority that's even more important, and it's the spiritual authority, the one that comes from relationship with God, where you might not have a title. That's my favorite kind of authority. Yes? You might not have a title or a position in your job, but you have influence given by God that comes and is nurtured from your relationship with God. And it's nurtured from your obedience to Jesus. So our spiritual authority will grow as we obey God's commands. As we lean into His throne room to listen what they're speaking about there, like Isaiah did. What are they talking about? I want to be part of that. And I'll obey what I'm listening. And who will go? Yes? Who will announce this? Here I am. Send me. That's where spiritual authority comes from. So my honest question, do you want spiritual authority in your lives? Is this something you desire for the glory of God? We can be good Christians, attending to church, treating well others, driving safely, and using well our money, and being generous with our time and everything. But God wants to take us to a higher standard of life, where it's not just submitting some basic areas of our lives, but we're submitting all, surrendering all. And I believe that's the invitation God is wanting to do for all of us, including myself, my wife, and my baby, whatever she is. All of us. She's in the baby's room. Okay. That's the invitation I believe God wants to give us. I have witnessed these days and before, and sometimes we're in contact with Pastor Barry, and he's telling me about your mission trips, and you guys are doing an amazing job. But I humbly want to suggest God wants you to go to a higher standard of surrendering. Me as well. Yeah? We maybe have sacrificed different things to obey Jesus. Yes? And only you and Jesus know what you have laid down and the opportunities you have let pass through and not taken it because God said, no, that's not for you. But we're running the race till the last day that we're on this body. And every time I believe God wants to go higher standard with us. Amen? So the spiritual authority comes from our obedience. We read it already, Ephesians chapter 2. And then Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 11, it's speaking about Christ. So we're little Christs. We're followers of Jesus. Whatever He does, we want to do. The way he speaks, we want to speak like that. The way he treats others, even the way he dresses, yeah, all these things. Dress in love, unity, you know? We want to follow that, not the robes, because that's two millennia ago. Yeah. Philippians chapter 2, let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider equality with God a thing to be grasped or hold on to, but he emptied himself and took the form of a servant. Other word for that is slave. He made himself a slave and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself even more and became obedient. Key word, obedience. To the point of death and even death on a cross. Therefore, God also exalted him and gave him a name above every other name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, all the things in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So are we living on the same mind as Jesus? Is that our mind, our thoughts, day and night? The word Lord, in Spanish, we say Señor. And we say Señor for the guy who sells food in the store. And we say Señor to our father, and we say Señor to an older man, older than you. In English, you have a difference. You have Sir and Lord, and I think that's great. Yeah? But the original word is Kyrios, from the Greek. And Kyrios was the word that was used to refer to the emperor, Caesar, in the Roman Empire. Yeah? Caesar is Kyrios, they said. Or Caesar is Lord. So he was the big guy, you know, of the time. And whatever he said, that's what was going to happen. And then people started recognizing Jesus and saying, you are Kyrios. And that was dangerous in an empire. Yes? And even just by recognizing, you are Kyrios. You are Lord. Or when they were answering, what do you want me to do for you? Lord, I want to be healed. Lord, I want to see. They were acknowledging you are superior over Caesar. Yes? And then they were giving the permission in their lives. Okay, so he is the Kyrios. I'll do whatever he says. If he wants to heal me, if he doesn't want to heal me, yeah, if he wants to save my baby, if he doesn't want to, I'll just follow the Kyrios, the Lord. No one above him. Are we willing to live that way? So my time is running out. Yes? And I'll just go over some examples, and I'll invite my wife after that to share a bit of what we've experienced too. But the Bible is giving us one example after the other of people who had Jesus as their Lord and people who did not have Jesus as their Lord. So with God, it's all or nothing. We cannot give him lordship over one areas and reserve other areas. Oh, you don't touch that, Jesus. Yeah, no, don't speak about that to me. Yes? So all of this is for you, but this is my kingdom. Yeah? Then he's Lord of all or he's Lord of nothing in your life. And that's a decision we need to make every day. It's not just one day. One time in our lives, every day. So we have examples of Moses. And then there is Moses, you see. He was thrown in the river to save his life. His mom did that because there was this command to kill all the babies of the people of Israel. They were slaves in Egypt at the time. And he was rescued by the daughter of Pharaoh, yeah, the king there. And he grew up in the palace with all these studies and comfort and wealth and this authority, this title, yes, as the son of the daughter of Pharaoh, the grandkid. He had all this. But then the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, 24, you know, chapter 11, all the heroes of faith, speaks about Moses and says, when he was an adult, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter and preferred to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than enjoy the temporal delights of sin. For he considered that to suffer the reproach of Christ was greater wealth than the treasures of the Egyptians. So, wealth, comfort. How willing are we to lay those things for God? Wealth is not sinful. Loving it, it's sinful. Yes? But if God comes knocking the door and saying, I want you to let that opportunity pass on. I want you to quit your job and do this for me. So Moses had to do that. He could have stayed in the palace and God would have found someone else, probably. But he decided to take us a greater wealth, the will of God. Amen? Next one, Samson. You know Samson's story, right? So the pleasure of life, and in his case was the sexual pleasure, the immorality, the lust that was ruling over his life. He was consecrated from the womb. An angel announced that he was going to be born. His mother was barren. She couldn't have kids, and an angel came and announced, you'll have a kid, and he'll be a ruler, a judge over the nation, and he'll deliver you from the Philistines and all these enemies. And he starts doing that as he's growing. But he also starts doing other things and going to prostitutes and mixing with the foreign women, which was not allowed for the Israelites. And Jesus was not Lord over the sexual area of his life. Yeah? So it might be the sexual area, it might be other ways of pleasure in this body. Do we have that surrender under Jesus? And that was his destruction at the end, because that's what sin does to our lives. He was destroyed because of this. So who is the Lord over your pleasure and your desires of this body? Who is ruling over how many hours you sleep? Or what do you eat? Or your sexual life? Who's ruling there? Next one is Jonah. You've heard the story, right? Jonah, and God asked him, go to Nineveh. Nineveh, yeah, which was the capital of the Assyrian Empire, the enemies of the Israelites. They were enemies. They were killing Jonah's people and doing very bad things to them. And God said, you go, stand up, go, and preach to them. And tell them if they don't repent, I will destroy them because they've done so much evil. And then who's Lord over the areas where you need to forgive? What happens when something unfair is done to you and you are right? Jonah could have said, they killed my cousins, my brothers, my friends. They destroyed my cities. I will not bless them in any way. Yeah? So when God was telling him to go, he was asking for more than just speaking the words, but going in an attitude of blessing the one who hurt you. Are we willing to do that? That's also one of the areas where Jesus has to be Lord of our lives. Have you been hurted by someone? Hurt by someone? Has anyone offended you? I have been offended many times. Yes? And I'm just 30. So more offenses will come probably in the future. Many times I think I have offended others as well. So how are we dealing with that? Is Jesus Lord? Did the Assyrians ask Jonah for forgiveness? Hey, bro, I'm sorry. We came and, you know, we took your food and your animals and your women. And yeah, man, we shouldn't have done that. Maybe they never asked for forgiveness. Maybe the one who offended you will never come. Brother, I'm sorry. You were right. I was wrong. Maybe you'll never hear it. But are we willing to forgive and bless when we have not been blessed by someone? That's another area of where Jesus needs to be our Lord. Next one, Jeremiah. So Jeremiah was a prophet, and he was crying a lot because he had to deliver very difficult messages, and people mistreated him as well. And Jeremiah chapter 32, he went through many things, but this part is, he's in the prison because the Babylonian enemies have surrounded the city of Jerusalem, and he was prophesying, we need to surrender. This is God's will, that we will be defeated. So we need to surrender. And then the king and everyone got angry at him, throw him in jail and all these things. And it was God's will for them to, yeah, lose that battle and be taken to exile. And God comes to him when he's in a prison. And he says, you know, Jeremiah, your cousin will come and he will offer to sell you a piece of land. You have to buy that piece of land. Yeah, imagine if your city is about to be taken by the enemies in your country, and someone wants to sell you land. Would you buy there? Oh man, this is about to be taken. We're gonna lose everything. Of course not. But God said, you buy this piece of land. So God has to be Lord over our own reasoning as well. He gave us the ability to reason, but that must be submitted to God's word and to God's Spirit leading us day to day. And he did that. He bought the land. And that was a sign that God was going to bring the people back one day. So how willing are we for these kind of things? And then the last one, Jesus. Jesus is Lord, and he submitted to the Father. So the Trinity is a perfect example of perfect relationships. And they're submitting to each other, honoring each other, respecting each other, obeying each other. And Jesus, having all the power, was betrayed by Jude, and he's about to be taken to a horrible death. And Peter draws a sword and chops the ear of one of the other guys. And Jesus answers to him, stop. Don't you know I could ask my Father for legions of angels to come and fight it? But that's not the way. It's not what I have to do. I have to be delivered and killed. So how do we do when we have the power to strike our enemies? Yeah? And maybe give back a little bit of the offense we were given. Yes? Are we using that power for our own will and benefit? Or are we allowing God? Is God saying, don't use the power you have. Just go. Bless. Yeah? Let them go over you. I'll use this for my glory. So Jesus, the perfect example. And now I want to invite my wife in the next part. we can go to the next. So who is Lord over your life? All of it or none of it? Not 80, 20, 60, 40, 100% or 0%? And
I will tell you the story in Spanish to don't miss any details. Entonces, hace cuando yo quedé en embarazo.
So when I got pregnant.
Es muy diferente la vida cuando uno es mamá, ¿no?
Life changes when you're a mom, right?
¿Hay mamás aquí?
Is there any moms here?
Recibo tips al finalizar la pregnancy.
So please, I'm open for all tips and advices. Come over when we finish.
Pero cuando estábamos planeando toda la llegada de Mía, había muchas cosas que yo creí que yo debía hacer para que Mía estuviera más segura de lo que yo estuve cuando llegué a la vida de mi mamá.
And when we were planning for Mia's arrival, our daughter's arrival, I tried to plan for her to be safer than I was when I was a baby, and trying to protect her from things that happened to me.
Y Jesús, el Señor,
and Jesus, as Lord,
empezó a tocar la puerta de mi corazón.
Started knocking the door of my heart.
Y él empezó a hablarme de, como humana, no tengo la capacidad de cuidar al 100% a mi hija.
And he started sharing with me, as a human being, you'll never be able to protect 100% your daughter of any harm.
La única persona en el mundo que puede hacer eso es Dios.
The only person who can do that is God.
Entonces Mía nació.
So Mía was born.
Cuando Mía tenía 42 días, iniciamos una escuela, la primera escuela de traducción oral en español.
And when Mía was 42 days old, we started leading an oral Bible translation school. The first one happening in Spanish.
Porque Dios nos habló de hacerlo en ese momento.
Because God said that was the time to start leading a school of oral Bible translation.
Ahora, los que han tenido papás, si se acuerdan, su primer bebé es muy difícil.
So those of you who are parents, remember when you had your first one and all the fears and things you felt, it was difficult.
Además de no dormir nada en esos primeros meses.
Besides not really sleeping at all during the first weeks.
Entonces, en la lógica, no debíamos hacer esa escuela.
So in our logic, we should have not be leading a school, a missionary school.
Pero nuevamente el Señor es Jesús.
But once again, Jesus is Lord.
Y él nos habló de hacerlo.
And he said to us, do that.
Entonces, ¿sí puedes poner la siguiente?
So if you can go to the next slide of the presentation, please.
Entonces, esa es Mía.
So that baby over there, it's Mía.
La calvita.
The bald one. And that picture, Mía, was 3 months old.
Y la foto se tomó en la base de Jucum en el Amazonas, Colombia.
And that picture was taken in a missionary base in the Amazon of Colombia, in Leticia is the name of the town.
Entonces, cuando Mía tenía 2 meses y medio, Dios nos habló de ir a un viaje por un mes en el Amazonas.
So when Mía was 2 months and a half, God said to us, you have to go to the Amazon for 1 month. To help facilitate the Bible translation of the book of Ruth of 12 different people groups, indigenous groups.
Cuando planeamos el viaje, las abuelas y la familia empezó, no, no pueden hacer esto.
So when we started planning the trip, the grandmas and the aunties and everyone started, you cannot do that, you cannot take the baby there.
Es una bebé.
She's a baby.
Y nuevamente el miedo de ser una mala mamá empezó.
And once again, that fear to be a bad mom started to rise in my heart.
Pero Jesús, el Señor,
but Jesus, Lord Jesus,
volvió a tocar la
puerta. Knocked the door again.
Y me recordó, yo los llamé para hacer una familia en misión.
And he reminded me, I called you to be a family in missions.
Eso significa que Mía, desde el vientre, está consagrada para ser parte de esta misión también.
It means that Mia, even from when she was in the womb, was consecrated to be in this mission I have given you. And I will care for her, I will protect her, I'm the only one who can do it fully.
Y aquí les quiero mostrar a Mia en la siguiente.
So the next picture, please.
Mia en la selva.
So we have Mia in the jungle.
Caminamos durante la selva porque tenemos una sede misionera dentro de la selva que trabaja con indígenas.
So we were walking through the jungle, going to one of the missionary locations we have there with the indigenous. And of course, there's a lot of mosquitoes and all these things.
Ella era muy pequeña para llevar todas sus vacunas.
She was very little, so she hadn't gotten all her vaccinations yet because she couldn't.
Pero en todo el mes no la picó ni un solo mosquito.
But during the whole month we were there, she was not bitten by any mosquito, not even one.
Nosotros teníamos las piernas, los brazos.
You understood that, right? Both of us were all covered by mosquito bites.
Y Mia estaba limpia.
And Mia was clean.
Y con esto es cuando hacemos a Dios, a Jesús, el Señor de nuestra vida.
So with this, when we make Jesus Lord of our life,
empezamos y abrimos una puerta a vivir una vida extraordinaria como las de las historias que leemos acá.
We're opening a door to live an extraordinary life, like the stories, the lives that we read about in this book, in the Bible. In my experience with God in these 8 years of being a missionary,
no estoy segura de muchas cosas todavía.
I'm not sure of many things in life yet. But something that I know is that Jesus is a good Lord. He's not deceitful.
No miente.
He doesn't lie.
No lastima.
He doesn't hurt.
Aun en medio de las cosas que yo no entiendo.
Even when I am not understanding everything that's happening.
Él es un buen Señor.
He is a good Lord. We can go to the next one. So Mia's savings had to be put, on the altar to burn also. At some point, we were saving, you know. We were living on support, so we're trying to administrate everything very well. And we started saving for Mia, for diapers, going to the medical appointments, all these things. And at some point, God said, Adas, I want you to give that away, you know, for this cause, whatever thing he said at the moment. So are we willing? That was our security. It was not much money, to be honest. It was like 1 month wage in our country, what we had saved in 6 months. And what do we do? So maybe you're grabbing something that is your security. It might be related with money or with something else. And maybe God is knocking the door. Hey, let it go for my glory. So we did that. 2 days later, we had a medical appointment. We were there. We went there walking, and they couldn't find the heartbeat of the baby. So we were like, oh no, again, we had a miscarriage. That's another story. If we had time, we could share it. And no, again, and they said, you have to go to the emergencies room, but it's in another place. And there we are, we have some coins, counting the coins to make it to the emergency room. So what happened when God is allowing these kind of things? My wife said, Jesus is a good Lord. Yeah? He's not evil. He will not do things to hurt you. But sometimes he will allow some things that might hurt and might help us see what's really in our heart. And that moment for us was like, okay, are we going to trust God? 2 days ago, he asked us to give what we had for these kind of things. And now we don't have any money for that. Or are we going to complain? So when Jesus is knocking the door and saying, I am your Lord, you have seen about that in the worship times and prayed about this, and I want you to do this, our obedience must be joyful. not just obedience like those of you who have children, yeah, I'll go. But I'm not really going in my heart. Yes? God provided that day through some missionary friends. They knew and they said, hey, take, you go to the doctor. But God has been so faithful with Mia all this time. So he has provided for her more than what my savings could have done. Yes? She's had clothes enough to gift clothes to all other missionary babies. And yeah, she's been tithing to others from what she gets and all these things. So are we willing when God is coming to those things we have reserved? Hey, this is my security. And it's okay to plan. I like numbers and all these things. It's okay to plan and to have your savings or other areas of your life. Yeah, this is mine. Yeah, this relationship, Jesus, don't touch this relationship. I don't want to heal that. I don't want to forgive that. Next one, please. And justice. So what happened when you've been offended and there's no, hey, forgive me? And unforgiveness is one of the biggest obstacles to listen to God's voice. Did you know that? It's one of the biggest hindrances in our hearts. And how can we have Jesus as Lord if we cannot hear him? Yes? How can we follow his instructions if we're not listening to the instructions? We have this wonderful book that has come to our hands through the lives of many people who sacrificed and paid with their lives to translate it into English or Spanish or the language you read it in. And all the people who originally wrote this book. And here we have a lot of instructions, but there's other times where it's day-to-day guidance. And unforgiveness gets on the way between our relationship with God. So I would like to close with this and just have a time together to listen from the Lord. Might be a relational issue. Might be other kind of things where maybe God has been, as we have been sharing, lighting up in your mind. Yeah, God asked this from me. Or in this area, I know I haven't surrendered. Yes? And it's up to you. As we said in the beginning, guys, we admire you so much. You're doing amazing things, yeah? We were here yesterday at Fuego. Oh, you can feel these people is connected with God's presence, yeah? And there's good connection. But I believe God wants to take Catalyst Church to another level of obedience, connection, fruitfulness for Jesus' glory. All of you, where you are influencing and serving in your profession, in your job, in your family, in your school, wherever you are, God wants to take you to a new level of spiritual authority, but that comes out of surrendering. And it's a day-to-day exercise. Lord Jesus, is there anything in the middle of us that we need to put apart so we can fully experience your lordship, so we can fully experience and enjoy and live out sitting on the heavenly places? Ephesians chapter 2 says, now you're seated there. And next verse says, that's to show God's goodness. So we're not just there to chill and relax and have everything solved in our lives. Many times we will not have things solved in our lives. But God will use us to solve other people's issues, you know? Paul is describing this. I know it well in Spanish. I'll try to put it in English. And he's saying, we're giving when we don't have. We're healing others when we're sick. We're delivering others when we're being persecuted. All of this for the glory of God. So I believe this is God's invitation for you. If you want it, it's up to you. Amen. It's okay if we pray. Father, we want to thank you, Jesus, because before I could ask for your forgiveness, you had made a way for me to be forgiven. So I want to pray over my brothers and sisters here. Help us, Lord, if there's any unforgiveness in the midst of us or in other relationships. Father, if there's idolatry to other areas of our lives where we're making idols to take your place, maybe our job, our profession, our hobbies, our passions are getting a higher place than you, maybe our family, our husband, our wife, girlfriend, or children are getting a higher place than you. So we pray, Lord, help us so that you are Lord of all in our lives. We bless your name and we pray, Spirit of God, please come and speak to us so that we can walk in this friendship with you. Friendship. Not just being workers in the kingdom from 9 to 5, but being friends of the King who are willing to be there at 1 a.m., 11 p.m., who are willing to go the extra mile because, oh, he's my friend, I love him, I want to serve him. He doesn't owe me anything. He's not my boss who owes me every month a salary, but he's my friend, my Lord and my friend. So I pray, Father God, help us. Take everything that is on the way between us and you. And maybe you have, the Holy Spirit has shown you something that is pending in your relationship with him. Maybe God has already spoken to you some time ago about something, a new vision or project, or an unresolved relationship. He wants you to bring reconciliation or forgiveness or restitution or something else. Maybe the Holy Spirit is already highlighting something for you to be obedient. And this is a good time if you want to do that. If you can do it here, even feel free to walk around, and if you have to approach someone and forgive or ask for forgiveness or honor, or even just approach someone as being accountable and saying, hey, God is speaking to me about this and I haven't done it, and I want you to know to hold me accountable that I will do this in the next weeks, in the next days. So we pray, Father, help us grow together as your body, and help us have you as the Lord of all in our lives. So we surrender to you. We give you honor and praise. And Holy Spirit, I ask that you will seal over our hearts the words that come from you through this message. If there's anything that hasn't come from you, I pray that you will take it and throw it in the garbage. But only the words that you want to give through all that has been said, I pray you will seal it in our hearts, in our minds. And there will be this unrest until we do it, Lord. Help us not to be just too comfortable but on our own decisions, but to lay down our decisions to you. In Jesus' name.